Al-Bayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum to all our listeners tuning in. We're going to have attempt one, inshallah. Can everyone hear me? Mic check?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
I'm telling you, I don't really hear anyone.
I can hear. So there you go.
I don't hear anyone.
It's working.
It's happening again, boys.
It's working. You need to go to get your ears checked this time.
Yeah. Listen, let's just go with that. Can you hear me, Adnan?
I can hear you.
Can you hear
as
Ahmed?
Long as you can hear the three of us?
Yeah, I can hear.
So does that mean this is redundant?
Redundancy check, yeah.
But it looks cool.
Yeah, keep it on.
As long as it looks good, man.
Alright, that was a nice way to break the ice. How you guys been?
Alhamdulillah, man. Yourself?
Feels like it's been ages since our last.
Not really, man. I feel like the other way around. I feel like we go month to month.
Alright, sorry, bro.
Feels like a week.
Nah, I'm with Mazen.
I feel like it's been a month.
Alright, bro.
Feels like a week to me, but.
Is someone going to introduce what we're talking about?
It's just because you're busy, Abdul. We get it. That's what he's trying to say. He's trying to say he's busy. Like, time flies. He's the hardest worker.
Hands down. Why are you guys all looking at me when you say hardest worker?
We're not looking at you. You're just in front of us.
Okay. Yeah, you're the host.
Nice new glasses, by the way.
Cheers, bro.
Looking schmick.
He's going to put a plug. Did he give him to you? Like, did he hook him up? From him?
I'm just like, I'm breaking ice, bro. I'm breaking ice.
Did you hook him up?
He was going to bash me because my sister works at optometry as well.
Yeah.
So I was like, dad, she's like, come to me. And he's like, come to me. I'm like, oh my God.
These are the biggest.
So I had to be.
He's the biggest spinner.
What do you mean?
He came, he's like, my sister. He told his sister, how much are you charging? He told me, how much are you charging? He went to the cheapest one. He went to the cheapest one.
And I went
bro.
To the guy next door. Yeah. And I'm like, this beat it. And he beat it.
He went to the cheapest one, bro. We were about to start. We had to start giving him money. That's how that's how good his bargaining is. Oh man, and watch, he's gonna be one of those ones that returns and complains. Returns and complains.
Like, oh, it's a little bit too tight on the ears.
How do you complain about glasses?
Oh, you don't even know. Every day you get one complaint, this complaint, that complaint.
What, like the screw falls out?
Sometimes the screw falls out. This one, oh, it's scratched. We're like, what'd you do? Like, oh, you know, I just throw it on the table. It broke. I'm like, literally, it's like lopsided. And you're like, I'm like, how'd it happen? She's like, oh, I woke up and it was like that.
No, see, Ahmed knows me. I don't mess around. I told him when my glasses broke, I'm like, look, bro, I put them on my chair in the car and I sat straight on them.
Some people are honest. Some
and
people
now they're like that. So.
Some people are honest. They'll tell you. Other people, like, literally, I took them out of the case and they were like that. I'm like, like one arm's face, one hand's like this, one hand's like that. I'm like, that's impossible.
Where's the case been?
Exactly. The case is still mint condition. What the hell happened?
It's like
to
my brother, like, put his laptop in his bag and like they're playing footy with his bag. Like, oh, my laptop's cracked.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no. What do you expect?
Did he want to put in a nice kick? Someone must have put in a nice kick.
Someone would have broken their foot, bro.
Drop kick. I just want to know what they're thinking. Why they're playing.
How do you play footy with the bag on?
Playing. Like, you know, you just, the bag's the ball.
Oh, footy with the bag.
Yeah.
Right, took me a while to get.
Yeah, it did.
Playing footy with the bay.
That's because it's only been a week.
That's because he hasn't had his glasses on.
I can't see.
Have you contacts in?
Yeah, I got my contacts on.
Awesome. You think this guy's blind? Walking blind?
No, he might be able to see well enough that he doesn't need to stress on him.
I don't know. Last I recall,
I'm pretty
it
sure
wasn't
your
that
vision
great,
gets worse
over
time.
No, you're
I'll
right.
Leave that to Armin.
Anyways, enough about me.
Tell us. I know we read, but
I don't even know. I don't think we introduced what the podcast is today. Or like what we're coming back from or something.
Oh, that's what we're here to do.
Yeah. So take Ahmed.
Me.
Yeah.
Hit a Fergie.
Where's the delay button?
Nah, I guess we're back.
Delay.
I just we're back with episode.
Five.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Episode 5 of The Muslim Mindset, where we're going through the book Enjoy Your Life by Sheikh Muhammad Al-Arifi, right? Based on the original book, A Thousand Ways to Keep Friends, or Ways...
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
Something like
Enjoy
that.
Enjoy Your Life or something.
Oh, no. Our one is Enjoy Your Life, but the original one is like 100 Ways to Keep Friends or something. Something like...
Yeah,
something
how
stupid.
To keep friends and influence people.
That's the one. So yeah, we had, 20 pages to read for the last month?
Mm-hmm. Something like
So if you read about like... 3/4 of a page a day, you're Gucci.
Is
or
everyone,
if you're like Mazen, Mazen's like reading it the day before.
Yeah, is everyone still doing the consistency?
Well, we hope so, but no promises from me.
What consistency?
Like, are you reading on the way here or are you reading it like a page a day?
No, I'm reading like, month. To be honest, I'm reading 20 pages. It's like straight away when you come back home after this. Like smashing it out.
That works the same way.
No matter which way you do though, but if you do that every single time, that's consistent.
Not really, but because the goal was... to apply it throughout.
I've got it on Audible. I don't know about you guys.
I don't know who's the voice is.
He's full sponsored. He's by the way, download on Audible. It's like 5%. Yeah. At the checkout.
You'd actually make a good Audible voice.
I reckon Audible voice. I was going to say that. You'd make a good Audible voice.
Please, brother, make me shine.
Go start.
He's blushing.
Start reading. Go, just give us a... All
right, where do I read from?
Just anywhere.
Now, seriously, I've been asking you what chapter, like, so I can go back.
Chapter 15.
Chapter 15.
I don't have chapter numbers.
I get them confused with your chapters.
That's because we established last week, last month. You got the cheap version. You got the cheap version. We got the good one.
Okay.
Page 82.
Yeah, it's 100 ways to win people's hearts. Yeah. That's chapter 15, page...
Page 82.
Yeah, 82, I guess.
I'll get there, inshallah.
Yeah, so, Abdul, kick us off, man.
What am I kicking you guys off with?
Chapter 15, winning 100 ways to win people's hearts. How many hearts... Let's start it off. How many hearts have you won?
How many?
Oh.
Over the years, it's a tough one.
Come on, surely there's a number to it. I'm sure there's a couple of avid listeners. Really want to know what the number is.
Oh yeah, our numbers are spiking. Yeah, through the roof.
Are you getting anyone calling in? He won my heart.
That's probably my wife watching it on three different...
She's got like the laptop, the iPad, everything.
Make sure it doesn't lag.
Make sure she doesn't miss the answer.
Upgrade to NBN just for this.
Bro, the NASDAQ starts to drop as well. It's like everything's going up.
So yeah, bro. Begin, kick us off.
Yeah, so the first chapter, 100 ways to win people's hearts. Did anyone pick something up in particular from this chapter?
I picked up multiple things.
Tell us.
I haven't had water, so my mouth isn't thing.
Yeah, do you want to...
flexing about the hardest worker. Nah, bro. We don't drink water.
Yeah, okay, so what'd you pick
tell
up?
Tell us.
What you pick up? No one cares about your water.
Like, what do you guys highlight?
Doesn't matter.
Like, I highlighted the first sentence right away was those who harbour...
This is how you know you've done the last minute.
I
highlighted the first sentence.
I liked it. And I've even...
It's like, first sentence, last sentence, this is what you...
Randomly choose...
That's
how I did my English essays. Wallah, I opened the book anywhere, just picked a random phrase, and that was my phrase I memorised.
Yeah.
And use it as a...
That's why you're doing so...
89 English. Those who harbour a particular ambition become expert in fulfilling their objectives.
Those who harbour a particular ambition become
expert in fulfilling their objectives. So like eye on a prize.
What significance did that have to you?
Yeah,
that's like hectic.
Like, just because it sounds good.
Basically, look, for me, let me just see where it was at. And if you go in the second paragraph when he's talking about... I don't know if you... I'm guessing we have the same text.
Yeah, no, it's same thing.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. Anyway, so within that portion, he's talking about the way different people... So everyone has different approaches to the way they address other people. The example that he gave here is, for example, whether you shake someone's hand or you get up to greet them. I think we mentioned this in a couple episodes prior. It's not so much in terms of greeting, but the way people are treated, for example, right? Like, I think you mentioned Ahmed, like one of our teachers. We haven't spoken to him in ages, but the way... He treats the people around him. He doesn't, you know, with humility, or he's always there to, like, greet anyone. He's always willing to take your calls or catch up with you and meet up. You always want to go and see him, even if you haven't seen him for months or years. It's those little small things that differentiates him from any of the other teachers, for example, that we've had.
Because he captured our heart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's a small thing. Like, I mean, I know there are times when he might have given advice or, you know, helped you with something serious, but I don't think it's that which actually makes you feel like, oh, he captured your heart. I feel like it's the consistent small things that someone does. At least that's what
like I took. Little on. Interactions, yeah. You mean? Like the salam and hugs and ask you about how...
I think you even mentioned like a sheikh here or something where he noticed that you didn't salam to him.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Right. I didn't notice that. I didn't say them to him. Good memory, Mazen, bro. I forgot these things. But yeah, that's right. Like little things like that, they do. As you said with our teacher, we had a lot of teachers. They treated you. They were all nice to you, but some captured your hearts because...
Some stand out, right?
Some stand out. That's exactly right. And that's... You find those people are the most successful as well. Like if you actually look at the school that we went to, I think he's one of the only ones that still retained his position there.
Yeah.
And probably, like, gone up in terms of, like, like
it's,
head teachers.
I think it's sort of like, it's almost a consensus, though, with that specific person. And I think with each person that has these traits, that if you ask anyone, they're generally going to give...
Yeah, you never hear a bad word about them. That's true. There is the oddball. That oddball is an oddball.
Outlier.
Yeah, that person is an outlier. That's right.
Yeah, no, it's like when you get to know someone or whatever it is. I'm not going to say this because you're going to guess who it is. Like,
get closer to the mic. I think you're a bit far.
Sorry, it was like specific people. Like when I was getting to know someone, I was like, oh, someone give me bad news, but no one could give me anything bad about them. I'm like, all right, like, can someone give me bad? And even I asked the school kids, I'm like, oh, say something bad about this teacher. There's no one could figure out anything bad. So it's like, subhanAllah, some people have that thing in there that you can't have anything bad on them.
Yeah. Are you talking about Mazin?
Yeah, he's my teacher.
But back to what Mazin was saying, you're talking about the second paragraph, right?
Yeah.
About the scenario with the gathering?
Yep. No, I just use that as an example.
For the first line, I figured out what I wrote. I actually couldn't read what I wrote. That's why I stayed quiet. But when I was saying, those who harbor particular ambition become expert in fulfilling their objectives. Even though it's probably not advice to anything, but like in a recent like MMA and stuff like that, there were, for example, you know, Habib was fighting another guy. Literally, the whole documentary is before the video and the. What's the word called? Like the montages or the edits before the video is like...
The promo
is all the commentators saying who wants it more. They're saying, oh, this guy wants some more, this guy wants some more, who's going to win? And it wasn't literally who's more skilled, it was who wants the belt or to win more. And just that, I'm saying, that's what made me remember when I saying those who harbour a particular ambition, so whoever wants it more, become an expert and eventually win.
Yeah, I guess if you want to win people's hearts, you can... So that's to develop. But I feel like it's a bit more like innate. You can't really like nature. It's nature versus nurture, so to speak. Some people are more naturally gifted, more skilled.
I think with this, it differs in the sense that if you really want to do it, like if you really want to go out of your way to kind of capture people or to go out of your way to, you know, for example, this scenario about the person getting up to shake the other person's hand and smile at them and whatever. That's a kind of, you know, wanting to do something. Going out of your way to do something. Yeah. Like you said, it does come naturally to some people. But I think if you just put that mentality in your head that, you know, it doesn't matter who walks into the room, whether it's someone I know really well or someone I don't know so well, you know, I should have that same excitement to, you know, get up and shake their hand and ask them how they are.
I guess so, because like within that scenario of the 40 men in that gathering, they all have the capacity to get up and shake his hand and hug him and like give him the time of day. So I guess you're right. But it's a balance. I think it's a bit of nature, a bit of nurture, if you nurture it enough, it becomes natural, I guess.
The thing is, like, if you go to, like, I think a wedding is probably the easiest example, right? Because that's probably where you know almost everyone there. It's like a more a close circle, right? But like if you go there and you see like 50 to 100 people, what are the traits that would make you stick to, or you know, when you see those 50 people that you know, that makes you go this way and then end up spending a lot more time with this person table. Or this table or this group of people. Even though I know all of these people, I might have gone to school for years with this person or whatever, but you notice each person is inclined, regardless of whether you, like, you know, you've got that group that, yes, you're friends with, but there is that group of people that even though you might not be close with them, you haven't seen them in a long time, you somehow
drift towards them.
Drift there. I guess I'm sort of like opening it up to you guys for opinions, but what is it that you guys feel would be the thing that brings you over to a certain person? Or
I don't know. I don't think of it as...
It's not specific.
If I went to a wedding, for instance, and there was like 50, 100 people that I know, I'm probably going to go sit at the table that has Adnan, my cousin.
And sitting at the table, but you go and you talk to, do you know what I mean? Like, you've got a bunch of people, you might say hi.
You might go and drift towards the table and stay there for like 20 minutes talking to people, catching up with.
I'll do that to all the people I know there, though. Wouldn't you? Like, you catch up with everyone.
To add on to Mazin's question, there's 10 people in front of you that you know equally well, right? Why would you spend more time with a certain person? Perhaps I'd say it's the way that they, you know, accept you in that moment.
That's sort of like the type of answers that I was looking for.
If you become more inclined to a certain person because, you know, in that scenario, they're more open to you, they show you a smile, in a good mood when they're around you, then you're probably more inclined to hang out with them, so to speak, in that scenario.
Yeah.
But I'd ask you guys another question, and something I find a bit difficult as well, because say you're walking into a room, and then you're sitting at a wedding. It's a wedding scenario again. There's a table of 10 people, right? Do you sit next to the person that you know really well, like your best friends on that table?
I'll be honest, I feel like I do.
See, I'd do the same thing. I know it's probably not the right thing to do, or
You can sit on my left and you can sit on my right.
But it's a habit that's probably a habit that I could personally improve on. But, you know, do you sit next to the person that you know the most, your best friend?
Yeah.
Or do you sit next to somebody who you could probably get to know better?
Depends how I feel.
Yeah, probably. I'm like you, probably sit next to my best mate. Unless he's pissed me off.
Unless you're on bad terms.
Unless you're on bad terms. But nah, you will. Yeah. But it's not like... Yeah, that's the only person you're going to be talking to.
Of course.
You're sitting there. It's just because you share the most experiences. Similarities, right? I don't think that stuff is like truly applicable. It's more like, for instance, you go to a gathering where there's no one. Like you go to the mosque, right? Like every gathering at the mosque, there's most of the people you don't know, right?
Yeah.
Why is it that some people... Every time you go in and out, you salam to whatever. Even though you don't know him, you just have a salams with them. Like, they have a...
I think it's sort of like...
aspect to them that...
It's maybe like a higher level of what Abdul said, but they sort of accept you. Like, the bloke doesn't know me. Like, I can think of one guy at, like, Green Acre Masala, right? I don't know the guy at all. But every time I walk in, like, he gives me salam. I've never, like... I don't think I've ever had a conversation with him.
Probably don't even know his
name. I don't know his name. I don't.
Yeah.
But always. And it's... It's that form of... It's some form of acceptance-ish. Like, it's not like he accepts me as... He doesn't know anything about me. But acknowledgement, I guess. You know?
But it's more or less like there's... Your heart's been captured.
Yeah.
If that guy asks you for a favor...
I would actually do it.
You do it.
And I don't even know
him. You don't even know him. So he's captured your heart. Yeah. You've captured his heart, hopefully. But what's that... That trade that allows him to capture your heart? I think that's where it was. And I think... It's just giving someone the attention, time of day, making them feel $100, a million bucks, so to speak.
Mm.
Isn't that it, really? Like, that's what he done in that 40 men scenario. Mm. The first guy shrugged him off. The other guy, like, settled him, but he looked at his other... He was talking to his other mate still. But the fourth guy shook his hand, stood up, paused his own conversation, hugged him, made him feel like $1 million, right? Isn't that it?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah, there's a similar example that he gives is basically where there's a politician or something, and everyone likes loves visiting him, and his house is always full. And then one day when he retired from his position, and a guy visited him again, he realized like the house was empty, and he realized like people only hung around with him for a benefit.
Yeah,
you know. And he was just saying, he realized, yeah, the author's saying he realized that he had not earned people's love with his manners, kindness, and good treatment. Yeah, so what I said.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, it says, like the sheikh says, he goes, you know, hearts are not won by force, wealth, beauty, or status. So it's something that anybody can do, you know, regardless of your position, your age, you know, what you do for a living, doesn't really matter, right? It's giving each person that you come across, you know, that time of day, a minute, 2 minutes, to making them feel, like Ahmed said, you know, valuable for that, you know, 2 minute interaction that you have with them.
Yep.
Because if those things go right, because as we know from the hadith, is five before five, for instance, like. And some of the examples is like your wealth before you're poor, your health before this, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll lose your wealth, you'll lose your beauty, you'll lose your status, perhaps, all these things. It's do the people disappear with that as well?
Mm.
So it's, are you capturing them, or is your perks capturing them?
Mm.
I wouldn't be friends with Adnan otherwise.
I would be friends with Ahmed if it wasn't for good glasses.
Cheap glasses. Yeah.
The fact that he gives me money and glasses.
Nah, but ultimately, like, if the people around you are going to be two-faced, if that's what it is, right? Mm. And I would argue that two-faced people attract two-faced people.
Mm.
Right? Wouldn't that be fair? So the only way you managed to capture their hearts was through your perks that you have around you. Once you lose them, so it's not really your character itself that's made anyone inclined towards you. Mm. It's what you bring to the table. And once that's gone, everything else is as well. And that's what happened with that politician, right?
Do we agree on that point?
Sometimes.
Why? You sound a bit...
No, of course I agree. Like, what's there not to agree with?
No, I'm saying, as in, do you think we covered that point? Should we move on to the next one?
Are you going to read the part?
Yeah.
But you got to read it in a good
audible voice. There was still... No, you finished with the chapter?
Wasn't it?
I had actually another point.
That's what I was asking. I was just saying, okay.
No. There was... It's important for like social interactions, like me with my friends, coworkers, you with, you know, clients or patients, like, you know what I mean. But let's take it within a smaller sphere, of the family, right? And the author touched up on it, saying that a parent should also be able to win the heart of their child. Like, you don't want to be a parent that when your child is getting bullied at school, or, you know, they're having issues with their prayer or whatever it may be, right? There's so many issues I don't really want to even mention on the podcast. But you don't want to be that parent that when your child does have something they need to, they need some advice or assistance with, they go to someone else. Why is that the case? Because perhaps you haven't won their heart completely. Not, not, we're not saying at all, but completely, right? So the most important thing is within, I think, within the family. Like, that's the core of the whole community, right?
I think, I'd like, if I want to comment on that point, I feel like everyone sort of agrees that in a general sense, like, people find it a lot more difficult, even in today's society, to turn to parents for that. But that, I feel like there's also that added, like, there's that extra layer that makes it a bit more difficult for them to win the hearts of children, or, you know, in that scenario. Like, there's a bit more of an expectation, I feel, from parents naturally towards their kids that, you know, they might feel, I mean, if you don't make your, like, for example, obviously I'm not a parent, but, like, if you don't make your, you know, remove that stigma that a parent is strict, is, like, going to tell me off about something that happened to me, like, yeah, like, you know, for example, a kid gets bullied at school, sometimes they might feel like they need to impress their parents, they need to be everything positive. So if something negative happens, there's that sort of barrier that a lot of people don't break. And I think that in this scenario is part of winning your, you know, a child's heart over. And it might not just
of course,
be,
like, you got to be balanced, so you're not scaring the child away so that he's not.
It applies in a lot of,
from you.
It applies in a boss to an employee relationship, right?
Yeah.
Like, you notice a lot of the more successful companies are where the boss isn't so much a, like, a dictator, right? It's where me as an employee, I could be like seven levels below you, but I can come up to you and ask you for advice and help talk about it with no, like, no, what's it called?
Barriers.
Or feeling like you look down upon, like, that's, it's like, it's, at the start when I first saw someone like that and he's like manager, like, basically the boss, and he treated me differently, and he let me finish my sentence. Wallah, I was tripping out. I'm like, as I'm talking,
my dad doesn't let me do that.
As I'm talking, wallah, I was waiting for him to interrupt me, and he's just like, listening, and I'm like, all right, like,
You're not going to interrupt me?
You're not going to correct me?
Not even a little bit?
Daydreaming. No, it's fun. I'm like, well, like, that caught my attention, and I'll never forget it. No?
But now you're appreciative to that,
Yeah, of course.
That boss. I guess it helps having interactions with, like, losers as well, because then it makes you more appreciative for people that are nice, right? Like, your other manager was like, well, like, not a loser, like,
a fair point.
Like, I know what you mean. When his previous manager was, like, so mean to him and so on, look how appreciative he is. And what did the guy do? Literally just not interrupt him. Like, it's as simple as that. So, but, like, the family thing, like, me personally, maybe I shouldn't get into personally, but, like, I know, for instance, Nana, there's many cases I have friends and family that you'll get into where a guy, I'll see the son and the dad joking, like, about the weirdest of things. I'm like, what? You can say that to your dad?
I know this guy's talking about.
No, I don't think you do, but, like, I'm like, you can say that to your dad and they're joking.
I know who he's talking
but
about.
I'm not talking about anyone specifically.
he can't hold a smile.
I swear I'm not.
That's black finish, man.
But it's not like, I'm not saying that they're saying rude stuff, you know, like those memes that you see where white kids versus, you know, non-white kids. No, none of those ones. Yeah. Nothing rude or anything, but it's just like, oh, well, like, he has that relationship with his dad. And other families, you'll see that, oh, no, it's just literally
Hi, bye,
and whatever, you know, take out the trash and yes, okay, whatever, that's pretty much all it is. Yeah. Pull by the ear.
Just jump in the bin. No, like, we just take out the trash and just jump in the bin.
Oh, that's bad. I like that one. I'd then 10 bucks, 10 points, I mean, to you. But yeah, I think that was it for that chapter for me, really.
To finish it off, you've got to read the last statement in an audible voice, Mazen.
Where is it? Hold on 1 second. Fire Rabbi, you make me make me nervous. The resolution.
I can't.
Hold on. Our ability to capture people's hearts and win their love brings us great happiness in life.
You're laughing too much, I can tell.
Yeah,
you stopped laughing.
It's alright, bro. Next, I'll get better about each chapter.
Should have kept it serious. He sounded a bit queer. Queer.
Did I skip that one?
Yeah, no, leave it. That's fine. It's alright. What's the next chapter though? What's
next chapter is purify your intention for the sake of Allah.
16. I was when I read that chapter, I'm like, shouldn't this have been like the first chapter?
Mm. Good point, actually.
Yeah. You know, you're reading generally that you'll find that, you know, in like, there's a
so what made you change your mind?
Preface? What?
You said when you were reading that you were thinking, like, is that the end of
it? I'm not gonna change the book, can I? I didn't edit the book.
I thought you were gonna say, oh, but I read it and I understood why it's here.
I still think it should be, but generally they mention it in the preface of the book. Mm. They'll be like, they'll praise Allah and then they'll, you know, they'll mention all that stuff. But I was a bit, I guess, in that sense, I was a bit like, oh, okay, why is it being mentioned 16 chapters in? But
nonetheless, your intention does usually come before action, right?
Yeah, that's right. But it's, on that note, actually, it's also good to remind yourself midway through action as well. Sometimes your intention can change midway through an action. Mm. Mm. Even at the end of the action, right? As long as your intention from the start to end, sometimes it can falter in the middle. If it's pure, then inshallah.
Well, maybe that's what this is, like a reminder, you know? Midway through the book.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess we can treat it like that.
Right? Not a bad save, Abdul.
Yeah. Good save for the sheikh, huh?
Yeah.
So, who wants to kick us off?
Pick up anything?
I had highlighted that the guy, the author says...
it's highlighted in pink, bro.
Yeah. I know, but like the thing is, I can't mention it because it's no context. So
I've got a couple of points, but I want them to be like follow up points, to be honest. So if anyone wants to kick it off,
yeah. So I had since I didn't so shocking, I had one where it was like snakes with one. Well, I'm reading my notes. Like,
are you looking at me while saying snake?
No. Where it was literally some people have two faces to how they treat people, as the sheikh mentioned, that's purely because their intention isn't for the sake of Allah. It's of a worldly matter to gain something. Why would I treat you and have manners towards Mazen and not have manners towards Adnan? Right? If someone innately has manners, right, then they would treat everyone with respect and dignity. Rather, if I'm doing that, it's most likely because I want something from Mazen or I like Mazen or something like that. Even if I dislike the other party, I should still be respectful and treat them with dignity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I found that people can be snakes. If they're snakes like that, then it's most likely because their intention isn't pure. So they might not even get rewarded for their good manners with you. You get what I mean?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was reading, and then I realized that's what I was gonna say. I think that's the whole chapter in saying that people act differently in regards with different people, so they can gain something. So he uses the example that he used to see people that he thought never smiled and never had fun, and he would always try to poke them and make them laugh, but they wouldn't. And so he says that he used to believe that they were simply raised that way and didn't know any better, until to his surprise, he observed them in certain situations with other people, the rich and powerful, and they were suddenly cheerful and kind. And he found that, you know?
That's a big one, man. I think a lot of us, like when you work in the corporate world, you find,
you come
across
out.
A lot of people like that, because, you know, when they're talking to you and your co-workers and everything, there is certain way, do you know what I mean? But then as soon as the boss walks in,
it's a known thing. It's like, you know, flips, corporate culture. Yeah. Like everyone knows it.
Oh, it's actually well. It's fine.
Like the boss is in, everyone's different. Like it's known that way. It's almost like it's not something that's looked down upon in the corporate world. It's known that, hey, when the boss is in, make sure you're on time, you're treating everyone well.
That's fake.
Doing your work,
like,
and everything. You know, and then as soon as the boss is out, all right, everyone's back to their normal selves, so to speak.
In my work scenario, like my work environment, it's not so much when the boss is there. When the boss is there, you'll be as normal as you want.
Mm.
But say when the patient's there, or the customer, so to speak, is there, you're nice with them. You're nice in general, but there's an extra level of niceness.
Mm.
Or you'll see it in certain staff members. There's an extra level of, yes, sure, we'll do that, whatever, however you like, and you know what I mean? And once the customer is gone, freaking out, I can't stand that person.
I remember that back when I was working at Mecca's.
You have
like your manager saying, it's all right, just be nice, go tell them. And you got this Karen standing in front of you. And you're
Karen.
Just like, and you're just being, and you just want to throw the burger straight in their face. And you're like, but no, you just got to, you have to.
Yeah. Away.
There's two sides to it though. I don't 100% disagree in the sense that obviously.
I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing, right? But like, it does happen. Sometimes it's not like they're nice to everyone and then extra nice. Sometimes they're not nice at all, and then the customer's there, and now they're nice.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, I guess what
that's,
I mean?
That's two different scenarios. It's okay if you're being a good person, the customer walks in, you go that extra mile. you know, customs always right, blah blah blah. You go that extra mile.
The customers are always right. The worst rule in the in any customer service.
You gotta take it on the chin, right?
You still gotta take everything on the chin.
It's not that in like that in the corporate field. It's always like, how do you explain as a customer? You, like surveyors blaming architects and architects blaming builders and builders blaming this and this and that.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, the client. But the client isn't. Whatever the client wants, that's not.
Nah. What do you mean the owner of the house or the owner of the project runs the show?
At the end of the day, you can do what you want to do,
but if the house owner wants that, then he wants
I beg to differ.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we run the show, bro.
The surveyors?
Yeah, that's it, man.
All right, bro. I'm just looking at the date, 29th of October. I'll see how long you've been in that job for, bro.
Yeah, but back to the work thing. What do you guys think of that? Abdul, you're mentioning something.
I completely disagree. Like, in this, not disagree with your point, but I despise it completely. I feel like it doesn't matter who's there. It's a boss. It's your work colleague, the guy that works under you. I feel like treatment should be done the same way. You know what I mean?
At the end of the day, is that really your value? Like, if you have a value, it sticks wherever.
Yeah, like your value of kindness or speaking to. Oh, let's put kindness aside. Just speaking to someone properly, right?
Yeah, that seems to be a hard thing these days.
I feel like you should be able to get your point across in a decent manner, regardless of who you're talking to. Do you know what I mean? If you're talking to, you're a project manager, whatever it is, you're a branch manager. If you're talking to the guys under you, sure, there's a sternness needed, right, to get the job done. But there's no reason why you can't get your point across the same way you'd get your point across to the CEO or to anyone who's above you.
Mm.
That's the way I see it.
It's about compromise, I guess. You shouldn't compromise, like, yourself. Like, if you're being extraly nice and you're not a nice person, then you're compromising.
Yeah.
If you're a nice person but now you're being really mean to the people below you, then you're also compromising in that sense as well. So you shouldn't compromise.
Yeah, and it's not to say don't compromise, your sternness or authority, because sometimes that's needed, like I said, to get the job done.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between being stern and being
rude.
Rude. Like, straight up rude, you know what I mean? That's what I feel.
No, like, I'm just thinking now from put yourself in the shoes of a project manager or like a boss or something like that. You wouldn't want people around you being fake because you wouldn't have the things that you're thinking in your head aren't happening, or people are lying to you, or people are too scared to tell you what they think is right. Like, how the heck would you solve that problem? Are people being fake?
I feel like you're too far from the mic.
I thought you were going to answer that. I was like, there's an answer.
No.
How am I too far from the mic if you don't have the headphones in and you can't hear me?
No, because I know these mics, you need to be like really close to them.
How many mil?
They're dynamic.
About 35.
Right. All right. 325 or 35?
No, 35 mils.
35 is kissing it.
Well, yeah, basically.
Is that a razor? I can't run a podcast with you boys.
That's
fine. Just too much.
That's a 5 second delay down.
Repeat your question though, in all seriousness.
So, put yourself in the shoes of a director or boss. You wouldn't want people around you being fake or lying to you or being straight up thing. Like, you'd want to know I'd want to know if this guy's having a bad day and be like, right, go home, sort out your family issues or whatever it is, and relax. Like, you don't want people putting up a fake thing the whole time.
But that comes down to the boss themselves, right? They got to break down those barriers. Because those barriers are naturally there. When there's a boss around, they're naturally there.
Yeah. True.
Your boss is around, you got to be like, okay.
He's paying me.
A bit extra. Yeah, he's paying me. He runs the show. He's treating you well, whatever. You know, you got to show the boss has got to break down those barriers. My boss, alhamdulillah, does a very good job at that. Like, he'll ask me about my thing, something like he'll cover me for shifts and so on and so forth. Yeah. We're not a big company, mind you. So he'll break down those barriers. Just simply asking about my family, making dua for him, or stuff like that. And, like, that's it. Literally, I consider him like as a coworker, so to speak. Obviously, he's still the boss. I respect him. He still deserves that respect. But I can treat him like a coworker. Can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? And he wouldn't bat an eye. But that was because he broke down those barriers. At the start, it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
He broke down those barriers. So, and now he benefits, because if I stuff up or if something's going wrong or someone else stuffs up, he can be the first one to tell.
Mm.
One thing I found, like, I'll give you two examples. Like, just, I was at a, like, I know I sound like I've worked at like 100 companies, even though I haven't. Like, one place, you'd go in there and it's like literally after on a Monday morning, everyone's in office. Everyone's like happy and nothing's bad. It's like, oh, how was your weekend? Yeah, baby, good. Yeah, get back to work. And that's it. Like next, you wait till the next Friday. You next Monday. Oh, how was your weekend? All good. Yep, yep. Yeah, everything's good. Yeah, yeah.
All right, just record
yeah.
it on tape.
Sit back in
and
the
when
desk.
He's away, just play
yeah,
it.
It's a corporate thing. Hey, ask him about the weekend on the Monday, and then ask him.
What are you doing? What are you
doing?
Yeah,
tell him to have a good weekend on a Friday.
That's it. Literally, like that's it. Like for there, it was all right. Like I didn't want people getting involved. I didn't want to know about stuff.
It's all business from Monday to Friday.
Yeah, Allah.
But it's because they don't do much during the week. Yeah, they go home and they watch Gogglebox, for God's sake.
Or the golf.
The golf.
It reminds me of a situation I had somewhere I was working once where there was a bit of an issue arise at work, right? To be politically correct. An issue arise at work.
Things exploded. An issue arise.
The building fell down.
An issue arise at work. And then I knew personally that a lot of people at work had an issue with what had happened. Like it wasn't cool with them. Because they called me and told me, bro, you know what just happened? How's that fair? Blah, blah, blah. What's going on?
Someone got promoted.
No.
Come on, bro. I read this.
The new guy got promoted.
Anyways, like, a lot of people had an issue with it. For me, if I personally feel like something's bothering me, then I'm always going to try and speak up about it.
Yeah.
I won't let it just settle in. So I was like, all right, in the next meeting. So I was like, all right, guys, next meeting, let's talk about it. Let's bring it up, right?
Everyone's so scared.
And then next meeting comes and then no one's saying anything. And then I can't, I'm holding it in, right?
I'm just like shaking, sweating from his brow.
And then I brought it up in the meeting. And I'm,
everyone's
me and
like,
the boss
Gabdo.
You got a little minion.
Yeah, you were, Gabdo.
Honestly, me and the boss.
Cheerleader squad.
Me and the boss are going, back and forth. I had nothing against the boss in a respectful manner. Like,
yeah.
He was addressing the concerns and the issues, whatever. But then it wasn't really to my surprise, to be honest. Nobody else spoke up. Like literally nobody said anything.
It, like,
except one other person. To be honest, one other person actually said something,
mm.
and they backed up what I was saying and were talking about it. But literally, out of the other like five people that actually had a major issue with it, they absolutely said nothing. In my head, I'm like,
I throw you under the
bus. You know what they say, bro?
What do they say?
Snakes in the grass. Fake people, fake people mad.
And
but seriously, like a day ago, they're on the phone. They're on the phone and they're having absolutely none of it, and they're fuming, and it's a big issue. And the next day, because the managing
Nothing.
Director's there,
crickets.
That's corporate world, yeah. Everyone's scared.
It's a shame, man. But
no one has guts.
What happened to you?
Actually,
did you get in? Did you get
improved,
like?
It actually improved my relationship with the managing director, mind you.
Yeah.
Actually improved my relationship because afterwards, brought me to the sign. He's like, obviously, I wouldn't recommend this because it wouldn't happen everywhere, right? You'd probably get fired or it'd be awkward moving on in most places.
You
but
read the situation, bro. You read the situation.
Because I know who the guy I'm working for is and how he is. And he actually came up to me and is like, I really appreciate what you're saying. This helps us improve as a company, blah, 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 blah. And our relationship was better from that point on. But with a lot of places, and I've been told this as well, is... Promotion came in after that.
And then it started a new fuss with other people.
But then in a lot of places, like I've been told by the friends who work in different places, it's like, if you do, unfortunately, if you do bring something up like that, you become kind of
alienated.
You look down upon.
Pushed to the corner, pushed
to the side. Follow suit.
Obviously, it's not suggested. You play your cards right.
That's what I was getting at.
Learn who you're dealing
as
with.
As a boss, you'd want to know, like, there's an issue that something happened and everyone's talking, everyone has this hate to me, because that's how it slowly builds up. It's like, oh, boss is unfair. And he probably doesn't know. He probably has an answer in his head which he thinks is correct and he thinks is for the situation, and he doesn't see the other side. Yeah. Like, I had one of the first places I worked at, there's like always this thing, if you're like 7:30, you're late, you're shouting everyone breakfast, whoever's in the office.
Oh, wow.
Literally. So, like, there was this guy, like,
sign me up.
Honestly, and it was the best thing because we had cameras, like, 7 minutes 30.
Oh, yeah, 6:30.
That was like 7 minutes 30, like 30 seconds, you're late, and everyone's got cameras. Like, everyone wants to have free breakfast.
Yeah,
so, like,
the boys.
When someone comes running up, everyone's like this.
But Ahmed's the one that gets, like, the witch's hats and he puts the cones there to stop people from parking. He's like,
no,
just make sure they're
like,
late.
When someone comes late, you're half guessing. Everyone's like, yep, video ref, get the video ref out. You see if he comes in. One guy's holding the door. And what surprised me
did
once.
They actually,
and what and the thing is, like, the boss used to go hard on you. Well, like, I remember I came late once, and this guy wanted, like, I don't even know what it's called. Something eggs, fish, like, it's like rich, expensive fish eggs in a sandwich.
Caviar,
this and that. And this guy, I'm like, bro, I went to pay for it. I didn't know. Like, I'm like, easy. There's like five boys. I'm paying like 50, 60 bucks. Just his sandwich, I paid like 30. I don't know what was in it.
Wow. This was the boss?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't see it. But the thing is...
Of course, I don't see this snake.
No, no. I accepted the rules. But like, when he came late, honestly, everyone gave it to him. And it was like once a week he came late every single time.
Did he shout?
We didn't even know his kid was sick. That's why he was late. So, which is a legit reason. And he didn't like say anything. But like, we slugged him and like, with a smile on his face, everything. Like, we knew like he's rich. Not like he's rich, but he's...
And that's how Adnan tasted caviar.
He was wealthy because obviously he's the boss. And like, literally, like, went to town with him, everyone. And he's there, smile.
Why didn't he tell me to come and work that week, bro? See,
everyone started working in the office.
I'd want that rule implemented, but I'd probably be shouting out every day, so.
Yeah.
Keep it all right.
If anyone's wondering why we started a bit later than usual, it's Abdul.
I wasn't eagerly parking.
So, yeah. The rest of the chapter was pretty much all a hadith, right? Mm. Just about highlighting the...
Read one or two, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, Adnan. There was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best amongst you are those who have the best manners and character, right? No exceptions of with those of high authority, no exception of those who are funny, have money, have this or that. No exceptions whatsoever. It's just full stop there, right?
Now I'm just triggering my memory when I'm reading this and I'm like, wow, it's such a big part of faith. Of like nothing is heavy on a scale than good manners. It's like...
Of course. Read the whole hadith, read it.
Yeah, I like this. I've highlighted that the most complete in faith are those whose character is the best, those who are easy to deal with, who get along with others, and with whom others get along easily. There is no good in a one who cannot get along with others and whom others cannot get along with.
So I guess like saying that it's part of faith in essence means that it's a form of worship.
Of course.
Right? And the best forms of worship are the most consistent forms of worship. Right, so
you're getting at being consistent with being a good guy.
Exactly, yeah. Right. That's how we as Muslims should be. None of this fakery that you see in the Western world, or even amongst within our own community, but that shouldn't be the standard. We should have a consistency in how we uphold our character and our manners.
Make
through
it
and through.
Blueprint, you know.
Exactly, part of your blueprint, your DNA, and as Adnan just mentioned, nothing is heavier on the scales than good manners. Nothing. Like, that's, like, even hard to fathom, really. That's hard to fathom. Like, inshallah, we enter Jannah through our good manners. Like, what more do you want? That'd be amazing. But it's worship, and we weren't created except to worship. So, if you consider it like that, then maybe that'll...
On that reason, with good manners,
that'll motivate you.
I think everyone would agree that like lying would be consistent with this like manner, so like not lying and part of this. Because I think there's a lot. I think I'm not gonna say a lot, but there's a hadith where the Muslim does not lie. You know, it's very specific and very explicit. And like I was thinking like the other week, like we have timesheets on as a surveyor. Like you're half time in your field, half the time you're in the office. And when you quote jobs, they want to know like, for example, how much do you work in it? There's a different rate. So when you charge clients, you say, for being out in the field, sending a person like me, sending a person that's a manager, whatever it is a difference. And I got an email last week saying, oh, what was your timesheet here? It doesn't match up. Your vehicle says you were here at this time. And you said you did this office work. You said you've done more than you were at. I'm like, well, and I realized there was an error on my half. And I wrote like, I was supposed to split it up. And I was thinking to panel like, because the company has like exploded, there's a guy literally there just to make sure that no one's lying and make sure that the guy's timesheet matches up with the work that he's done.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, it's kind of like, imagine that, like we've come to a world now where I'm being honest, my boss is wasting money paying someone a salary of who knows, for him to check that the other guys are just doing their job, you know? Yeah. And I was thinking, it's like, that shouldn't be it. So like the guy was asking me, oh, what did you do exactly? I'm like, bro, I can't remember, but wherever my vehicle was that time for 4 hours, it was 4 hours. That's my field work, and the rest were in the office because I lived at home, and it was my home was like 5 minutes from the thing, so the GPS was tripping out. So then I'm like, yeah, that's it. And he's like, what? It's not that simple. Like, is there anything else to? He was waiting for an answer. But yeah, just that triggered me in the head, like, subhanAllah.
Yeah. That's true.
A whole career of people lying. Even that's off insurances, and I'm not going to say that, but off insurances as well. Insurance also often check, make sure that you're not lying. So even there's a whole debate on insurance Islamically, but like even if you do something and you go through with insurance, they want to make sure that you're not lying, you're not pre-planned, you haven't pre-planned, and you're not cheating the system. Mm-hmm. And subhanAllah,
lined up five cars and smashed them all.
Yeah, a whole career, some guy just making sure that you're not lying, you know, and just saying the truth.
That's a shame. It's a shame that that's what our society has come to, I guess.
Mm.
But It is what it is, as they say.
I think one of the last things to continue on, because this was something that I generally think of this, like, very often whenever I have, you know, I see something with the title of, you know, purifying your intention. I think back to, this was, subhanAllah, back when I was in school. I was talking to one of my teachers, and actually, no, I don't think it was a personal conversation. I think they were giving a talk in general, but it stuck with me since then, where they were talking about intention, and I think the Sheikh mentioned it in here as well, in one example, but he was saying to purify your intention of an action, so that the intention is solely to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a form of worship. Right now, the teacher at the time, he went into, literally into detail of everything, right? Like, going to the bathroom, when you're actually eating, when you're going for, even walking to work, right? If you think of each, like, every single thing in your life can have the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributed to it, no matter what it is, right? Like, and he even gave one of, like, when you're going to the bathroom, it's such a simple thing, right? Where you're going to, for example, look after, because we know, like, just if you go scientifically, people that don't, if you just, you know, sit there and hold it in for a while, you can actually damage your body, right? That's an example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you your body as a trust. He's entrusted you with that. And if you purify your intention, the reason you're going now is so that I can look after this thing. It's such something simple as that, because of that intention, something that you just do on an, like, naturally turned into a form of worship in a weird way, right? And he added that to almost a bunch of things that we could relate to back in school. But I feel like if we think about that with everything that we do in our everyday, subhanAllah, you can turn in your entire day into ibadah with the same things. You're not changing anything in your day. You're not adding any tasks. You're not reducing any tasks. All you're doing is changing your intention. And I just thought that was it was something that I thought about at the time. And subhanAllah, like, it, I feel like that ties back to the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with how easy it is for us to earn those rewards, deeds, yeah, right, or increase. But that does,
yeah, I think you literally summarized the last point of that chapter.
So that leads into that. Okay. Does anyone have another point before that?
I actually did.
Yeah, go say it.
Because even though the chapter was a lot about intention, it, like, the title was about intention, it focused a lot on manners.
Yeah, purely
on manners. And I wanted to take
having manners for the good and right intention.
That's right. Mm. Yeah, I was actually speaking to some students on Monday, and I was telling them, we were just reflecting, like, it's like a small halaqa, we're reflecting on world scenarios and so on and so forth. And I'm like, look at the upheaval that's going on across the world, right? With the disrespect that's been shown to the Prophet ﷺ, and how Muslims there's an uproar, right? And I was thinking, I'm like to them, the Prophet, I was thinking when I read this chapter, I'm like, the Prophet ﷺ was sent to perfect our manners, right?
Yep.
He had the best of manners. Yeah, we all agree to that, right? How do we become like the Prophet ﷺ and perfect our manners if we don't know about him?
Mm.
And I was drawing that to my to the students. I'm like, in order for you to become exemplary in your manners and your character, you need to have a role model of sorts, right? You know, like, a boxer doesn't become the best boxer without studying Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson and Floyd Mayweather. Yeah, right? A soccer player doesn't become the best soccer player without studying, like, Ronaldo, Messi, and whoever it may be. You gotta study the best to become the best.
That's right? Crazy. Allah, subhanAllah. I feel like anyone who's done sport, but I used to, when I would play tennis, I would actually jump online and I'd look up, because Rafael Nadal was, like, the guy I look
number
up
one,
to.
Yeah.
I would go and I would type in, like, forehand slow-mo, and I would literally watch him as he's doing it. It's crazy that we do that for something,
right? Dunya. But everything is like that, right? Yeah. You want to become successful businessman? Look at what the last successful businessman does. And you try and improve. But in terms of perfection, we already have that for manners and good character. So you're not going to one-up that in any way. So if you want to become good in your character and your manners, then you got to study the best of the best. And that was the Prophet ﷺ. So you can't actually... You can never become good with your manners and your character, for the right intentions, of course, unless you study the Prophet ﷺ and how he was, and the Sahaba and how they were.
Mm.
You can't do it. And why I was mentioning that whole France issue was because everyone's in an uproar about it, because someone drew a cartoon of the Prophet ﷺ, and rightfully so, right? We should be upset as Muslims. But there's so many other things that we don't know about the Prophet, like, we defend him and his honor and everything, but when it comes to other things, it's like we've put it to the side. We've put it to the side. We don't, we, I don't even know if I'm making sense with that point anymore, but it was a bit more, regardless, let's put that to the side. Ultimately,
you can distinguish the two, you know?
Yeah, let's distinguish. Yeah. Let's disregard that previous point about France or whatever. But in terms of, if you want to perfect your manners and your intention, then you got to have a role model. Mm. And the role model in this case is none other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was sent to perfect the manners. So my point in saying that is, if we want to better ourselves in our manners and our character, then we got to study the best.
Yeah. And back to the sports example. Whenever you see interviews with athletes, like you guys said, NBA player, soccer player, whatever, they always have an answer as to who they used to watch, you know, the film of, look up to, and who they tried to mold their game around and be better than.
Yeah.
So that same
principle. Whose style they're mimicking, exactly. Right? Who do you look up to?
You know, so like your LeBron James used to watch your, you know, Michael Jordan's, who used to watch your XYZ, you know what I mean? It's just a cycle in that sense. You don't, you know, become the best player of this era without, you know, emulating the best player of the previous era or the best player of all time, so to speak.
And the last point before, I guess, Mazen wraps it up was, if you read one of the hadith mentioned in the book, it says that the Prophet ﷺ would make the dua, and I'll read the dua: "Oh Allah, guide me to the best of manners, for none guides to them except you. Protect me from bad manners, for none can protect me except you." Like, that was like mind blown to me as well, because yes, he's the perfect example in good manners and character, but at the end of the day, he was asking Allah for them. He would make dua to Allah for his good manners. So that his manners is a blessing and a guidance from Allah. And that's how, now going back to the 15 chapters we've just read, anything we wanted to emulate, anything whatsoever, we should always draw back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, grant me good manners and, you know, and protect me from bad manners and good time management and allow me to fulfill my promises and so on and so forth. Because ultimately, it all comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To wrap us up, Mazen, with your voice.
All right, so thanks, bro. So to wrap us up for that chapter, the Sheikh has said, purify your intention so that your interpersonal skills can turn into acts of worship with which you can draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So similar to that point, basically, with whatever you're doing, your interpersonal skills or any of that, purify your intention with those so that then they become acts of worship, and then that brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And you, when Allah is pleased with you,
there's barakah in everything
you do. He tells the angels to be pleased with you. And when the angels are pleased with you, people are, you know, it descends upon the earth. SubhanAllah. So it all comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The next part was called use the right bait.
Ours is use the right flavor.
I like the right bait more. It makes more sense.
Because you never use flavor, squid. Yes. You always use prawns. Tiger prawns you catch.
Tiger prawns? Wow, this guy's loaded.
Bro, we eat those. We don't chuck
them. Yeah, I know. But even fish eat them as well. That's what you catch.
It's a good investment when you think about it. You're chucking a prawn.
You get honestly,
and you then take out the prawn.
Depends what you want to catch, though. 2 weeks ago, a friend of mine put in squid, and he pulled out an octopus this big, mashallah.
No way.
And it was like, honestly, we thought we weren't going to catch anything. It was like on the shore. And
you went fishing?
Anyway.
I thought you said your friend. I don't believe this. What the hell?
Wow, where's our invite?
No, I was invited. So
yeah, plus ones. You haven't heard of that?
2, 3.
I'm sure you've heard of plus ones before.
I have. I didn't want to take you.
I'm just surprised Mazen's fishing. You know, I'm surprised he's out of his house.
It's a bit of a hard one. Are you the type of guy to get other people to put the bait on for you?
No. Like, every time I go, I need to learn a little bit for the first couple of minutes, and then I'm like,
oh, that's pretty good, man. It's fair.
Because I don't go often, you know what I mean? So I just need a bit of a refresher.
So what was this chapter about, I guess? Who wants to?
This is good because it ties into what we spoke about last week, right? Last month.
He really does believe it was a week.
Last month, about treating people how they want to be treated, you know what I mean? Using the right flavor with
each,
you know what I mean? Like, using the right flavor with each person, you know, tailoring how you're treating someone based on their personality and how.
Yeah, if you're seeing someone upset, you're not going to come in a joyful mood. Or if you see someone doesn't like talking much as an introvert, you don't get them out of their bubble too much and stuff like that.
Yeah. You know, we've had that in our family. So we're all pretty social and bubbly and so on. But we've had someone come into the family and they're very, like, we have introverts as well, but this is like a new level. Like, it doesn't like sound. Doesn't like sound, and it's like
what? Okay.
The whole dynamic of the family in gatherings adjusts. Like, it has to adjust. Whether it's
everyone uses sign language.
No, whether it's like separating or like, you know, just everyone trying to keep it that one level lower in terms of voice. And I'm the biggest culprit in that sense.
Everyone takes a booking when they can talk.
So yeah,
you too can talk now.
But it's ultimately like, that's what makes this person happy or keeps them from not being upset, really. So we've had to adjust to, that's his flavor, I guess, or the bait. And you got to use it to please him.
Mm. There was a good point here about, you know, if your father, for example, your mother prefers, you know, less talk, more silence, and it's okay for you to not excessively talk in front of him. If your, you know, father, for example, is somebody who enjoys talking and is more social, then, you know, you tailor yourself to that, so to please your dad or your mum. You know, I mean, I found that to be a good point.
Mm. As in terms of the differentiating factor between each person, like some.
Yeah,
like,
as in as a good.
In terms of going an extra hand, even like to that extra extent, to Sally, not Sally, or like to keep your parents happy.
Yeah.
What?
Sally.
Sally means Sally,
entertain or
I thought you were talking about someone else.
We're gonna have to mute this guy initially. We're gonna have to get like a not a 5 second dump for him. We're gonna get a 5 second speech.
That's good.
Like, we cut what do you want to take from him.
I like that, but I didn't know it existed, to be honest.
What?
Dumb. That there's a 5 second.
That's been pressing for the past 3 months continuously.
Only when I talk.
Yeah.
Sorry, boys.
And he was saying, and I'm going to put it in bold for Ahmed to hear, do not assume that everyone has the same nature. In reality, they all have countless different natures.
Was there...
Why are you looking at Ahmed for, Mezen?
I was looking at you, but I don't know why.
And then saying that because I joke with everyone.
The same way.
Yeah.
Not the same way.
And then what happens is, I think anyone who's been around him can relate, if he says something out of line, Adnan might look at him and be like, no, he knows me, bro. Don't worry. He doesn't get cut.
I would have just met the bloke like...
But I remember there was a gathering not long ago.
Tell me one person that's gotten cut.
And this guy was trying to stop him. He's like, bro, trust me, he doesn't get cut. And I can see the guy getting cut.
No.
Oh, yeah, this is the best part.
Please give me a specific example.
Me and Ahmed jumped on a train when we were at school, and his mates coming from East Hills, and these kids are... Look like an innocent, introverted Asian kid and whatever he was studying.
I remember this. Oh, yeah, I remember this.
Yeah, and this guy, he's like, oh, what are you doing? What are you trying to do? This guy's like, police officer. And, like, they haven't met each other in, like, 5 years. These kids are, like, bullying him. I'm like, bro, no, you don't know the guy. You're giving it to him. Like, relax. How about if he, like, starts punching you or something? Like, screwing up. I'm not going to do anything.
Bro, we were, like, me and that guy were in the same class for about 3 or 4 years.
You were sitting on opposite sides of the classroom?
No, bro, me and Jason were good friends.
I used to bully him every day.
No, we weren't, bro. Fucking hell, these guys. I wasn't a bully, bro.
We should bring Jason in as a guest next month.
That's his story. He'll arrest me. He's a cop now. He's arrest me.
But do you know what was funny? That day that I was talking about, he like, I don't know if he was still there or something like that. He goes, no, he won't get offended, bro. Trust me. So then someone asked him, without context, right? If someone said this to you, would you get offended? He goes, yeah, bro, 100%. And he's like, he wouldn't have if I said it.
It's facts.
It's facts. Because he would have changed to keep you happy and not get upset.
If your mom tells you, You're a uncus, all right?
you are stingy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give an easy example.
You're gonna be upset.
It depends how
compared to if I say it. It depends. It depends who says it, right?
Depends how it's
so
said.
So he might have assumed it in one scenario, and depends on how it's said. Mm. He might have assumed, all right, straight away, the bad scenario.
But no,
but he didn't think that I'm on the other side laughing.
It's the same example as when the guy, he had a dream. He went to the guy and said, interpret my dream. And the guy's like, everyone in your family is going to die except you. And he got upset, and then he realized that if he had said it, for he should have said it, or like another person said it and made him happy, where you're going to live the longest life out of all your family. And he got happy. You know, saying stuff in a different way keeps people happy instead of saying everyone's gonna die.
Exactly, you're just supporting me.
No, it's using,
you are. You're just supporting
it's using
me.
The right flavor instead That's of right. instead of coming off to everyone as if they're your best mate that you know for 100 years.
Test the waters first.
Yeah. Amma's not to swim. He jumped in and he doesn't know how to swim. He can't even swim. I taught him how to swim.
The key point there was treating everyone like that. So there's no fakery. There's no fakery.
Are you going to talk to your mum? Are you going to joke around with your mum the same way you joke around with me?
It's true. There's a fine line.
He'll be like, obviously, I do, actually.
It's obviously different.
Exactly.
I still treat her the same.
Of course.
There's different things we discuss. No. But I still treat her the same.
We can go to this thing later.
Off, here we go.
He's gonna start nagging me.
I don't want to bad luck in front of everyone, bro.
Oh, yeah, let's
your good mate Faisal listens to this every day. He always talks about it.
If anyone has a specific point about this topic, that we discussed it last week, mention it. But I feel like because we have and we're short on
Faisal
time.
And his brother, they used to go Quran class with you at Al Fajr.
Oh, Faisal and Ali, good men. They're good men. I love them.
I'm about it. Does anyone have a point on this? What? Like I'm saying, we've sort of...
We went on a mad tangent with Ahmed and
I'm saying... this
I always get roasted. I'm saying you guys are making me feel alienated.
This general topic we've spoken about before, if there's anything specific to this week's one, mention it. Otherwise, because
you know what? Even here, the Prophet ﷺ says it here very clearly that the Prophet ﷺ used to deal with his wives differently. Not in a rude way, but he used to treat Aisha
different.
Yeah, he used to treat Aisha different because she was younger. And on the other hand, the way he dealt with Khadija was different because she was older than him. Even while he was with his companions, he used to consider their different natures. Thus, he did not treat Abu Huraira in the same way he did Khalid ibn Walid. And you know what? That's just triggering my memory where the Prophet used to go up to certain people, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, certain figures like Khalid ibn Walid and people that were strong and tell them, well, haven't you accepted yet? Like straight up, blunt like that. And with other people, you hear of stories where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would
gift them stuff.
Entice them by gifting them stuff for them to become Muslim. And that just tends to their different natures means they accept things differently and require advice differently. We're not going to look at you, Ahmed.
Huh?
We're not going to look at you as we say that.
I think you're supporting my point, but okay. I think that whole chapter was pretty much that, right? It was just different examples of how the Prophet ﷺ dealt with different Sahaba. And like Adnan wrapped it up pretty nicely, to be honest. Done a very good job there.
Very well done.
Abdul's time to go to sleep for Abdul.
Yeah, it's bedtime.
Work tomorrow. What was the last thing, Mazen?
Yeah. 1 second, there's a couple of things I highlighted. It says here, be different. One of the points I highlighted was be different and search for the keys to the heart of your father, your mother, your spouse, your children, your boss, and your colleagues. Did I say your mates?
Mates are an outlier.
Oh, you're bad.
No, but yeah.
Wrap us up, Mazen. I think... wrap us up, then we'll do the... Yeah.
So the Sheikh said here to conclude, he said, do not think that people are of a similar nature. Rather, they differ tremendously. Keyword, Ahmed, tremendously.
Oh my God, I'm not going to hear the end of this.
Barakallahu feekum, for everyone listening. I think I'm not going to lie. The next three chapters will just be three chapters. So it'd be up to page 120 for the people with the new book. The chapters are called Choose the Right Words, Be Kind at the First Meeting, and People are as Diverse as the Earth's Elements, or to of that extent with your different book. You have just seen our chapter names, or?
Our one is Choose. Oh, yeah.
From 108 to 138. Yeah. 30 pages.
Yeah.
Choose the Right Topics. Yeah. Be Kind at the First Meeting. People are like the Minerals of the Earth.
2-1. Yeah, like Abdul said, to 138.
Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.